Make some noise for Josh Jasu!
Wow. Thank you so much for having me. This is so cool. I am happy to spend the 4th of July with you. Maybe you're not aware of some of our customs on the 4th of July. One of them that sticks out is a hot dog eating contest. And I've been traveling the world, and a lot of people think that they know what a hot dog is. They even think that they have their own version of a hot dog. And as I've traveled the world, I can honestly say that no. No, you don't. Because you all here, you know, I'm not going to pronounce it correctly, but you have bratwurst. That's not hot dog at all. That's good. You have to understand, to make a hot dog, like bratwurst is a beef or veal. You know, it's a meat with herbs and spices in it, cooked well. A hot dog, especially in America, a hot dog is something that to make, you first have to find. And when I say find, I mean like putting together a proper hot dog in its casing and to serve is a lot like a witch's spell. You have to find meat that's first on the floor. It's very important this meat is on the floor. If the meat is not on the floor, you might not be making a hot dog. You have to find this meat that's on the floor. You have to couple it all together. You have to push it through this machine. And bratwurst, you know, once again, beef, veal, you can only hold together a proper hot dog with hate and... with hate and like a touch, like a dash, just a little bit of poverty, right? So you have some hate, you have, you know, like you can get a side of anger in there too. And then you put it together into a hot dog, you wrap it up nicely so it looks like it might be edible. Because I don't know if you've had a hot dog. In order to prepare a hot dog, it's not like preparing a bratwurst. You have to boil a hot dog. And in order to boil the hot dog, it means you do have to ruin some water. You put the hot dog in the water. You boil it up. That cooks the hot dog. Cooks is a strong word. What are you cooking? It's demon meat. But you boil the hot dog up, so then you pull it out, that's cooked. You then put it in a bun to cover up that you're eating a hot dog. The water, you have to dispose of like toxic waste. A lot of people will pour this down the sink. Don't do that. Don't get that mixed in with the regular... When I was little, I had a friend who... His mom had a flower garden, and he made hot dogs after school, and then he poured the water in the hot dog garden, and all of the flowers died. Because that is runoff poison water. But yeah, you boil a hot dog, and then you eat it. And when you eat it, you're supposed to close your eyes and pretend you're chewing something else. Because this is going to be nasty. You can try to dress it up with mustard, ketchup, with mayo relish, with whatever manner of things people do. Some people will act really, really holier than thou about how they prepare their hot dog, as if a hot dog is not a mystery of meat mushed together I say all that because on the 4th of July, there is a hot dog eating contest that takes place. And the winner this year, once again, is a man named Joey Chestnut. And this year, he ate 70 hot dogs in 10 minutes, which is the correct response. You know how I said that when you felt physically ill? That's how you're supposed to feel on the 4th of July after eating as many hot dogs as possible. I believe the record is 76 hot dogs. And I remember one time I had my buddy entered a hot dog eating contest and he was super excited about it. And he had watched Kobayashi, he had watched Joey Chestnut, and he thought he could do it too. He was like, if they can do it, I can do it. Let's give it a try, right? And so he entered the hot dog eating contest, and it wasn't like the official Nathan's hot dog. It was just like a local one that was happening on 4th of July. And he entered the contest, sat down with the other contestants, and then over the course of 10 minutes, my friend ate 2. This man ate 2 hot dogs in 10 minutes. We were watching it like, when is he gonna kick into gear? Like, when is it? There are other people that are literally like swallowing hot dogs as fast as possible. There was one dude that was this was incredible. He was screaming hot dogs down, right? He was like, meanwhile, our buddy, dogs in 10 minutes. We went from cheering to booing. We started out supportive initially. We were like, yeah, get him, you can do it. And then when it was clear he couldn't, we were like, stop, you wasting a hot dog. And when he got done, we asked him, hey, what happened? We drove you here. You the one wanted to go way out the way to enter this contest to waste everybody's time. 2 hot dogs in 10 minutes is not a contest. That's a meal. What's wrong with you? And he was like, I panicked. Oh. What are you panicking about? He's like, I saw everybody else do it, and they were so fast. I was like, how are they not choking? And then I remembered, I might choke. So then I started chewing extra. I was scared to choke. I was like, if you had at least choked, then 2 hot dogs in 10 minutes would be more reasonable. You got people over here fighting to get hot dogs now. He over here chewing responsibly. I do my best when I go anywhere to be as good of a guest as I can. You know, it means a lot to me to have me over here and for me to be your guest for a little while. I've been looking forward to this trip for a long time. And I'm always a little tense when I'm a guest, though. You know, even if it's just visiting a friend's house, you want to be a good guest. You don't want to leave and then have them be like, oh, never again. You know, like I get nervous to be seen as a bad guest. I don't want anything to go wrong. Like, I've had to stay over, you know, for a couple nights at friends' houses. And they're like, oh, make yourself at home. What's mine is yours. I feel like that's a trap. You know, because you really make yourself at home and then you find out how much they mean it later. It's like, I'd rather just act like I shouldn't be in here at all. Quiet as a mouse, you know. I'll just act like I broke in and just try to affect as little as possible in the home. And they'll be like, what? He's such a good guest. We didn't even know he was here. One time I got so stressed out about being a guest at my friend's house while they were out of town that I just never went. And they were like, Josh, our apartment looks amazing. Did you do all this cleaning before you left? I was like, yep, you know it. Wanted to leave it better than I found it, you know. Because even being the guest at a party, that's like a short-term guest. When you're just there for the party, you're just there, you know, a few hours, maybe half the day if it goes long. And I'm terrified to be a bad guest there. I just don't want to be remembered in a bad light. And there was this one time where I went to a friend's party, and I'm not great at parties to begin with. You know, I'm very much in the corner, or if I know one person at the party, that will be the person that I'm talking to the entire party. Like, it will be a burden on them. Sometimes I see a friend that I know at a party and no one else, and I'm like, ooh, you about to have a bad time at this party. I hate that for you. I'm very sorry. But it's either talk to you or talk to a stranger, and come on. And so, you know, I was at this party, and my friend who actually invited me to the party was late. We were supposed to meet up together, and I misunderstood the text message. I thought they were already in there. So I knock on the door. I meet the host. I tell him, you know, oh, I'm friends. And then he lets me in, which is a huge mistake. Because now I'm just sort of standing awkwardly while other people have a great time. And so I was like, you know what I'm gonna do? This is the fail safe. Every time you need a break from social interaction, or you just need to get your bearings together because you're in a public place and you're sort of freaking out, you go to the bathroom. The bathroom is the safe haven, right? And so I walk to the bathroom, I close the door behind me, and it's a little dim in the bathroom, but I use the bathroom, right? Other reason to go. And as I'm stepping away from the toilet, I hear this little crunch, like under my feet, and I look at it, and it's all of this glass under my feet, and it looks like the actual light bulb either popped or broke or something, and then now I've stepped in it. And as I really started to look around the bathroom, I realized that it is an absolute disaster in there. It is horrifically bad. So the bathroom mirror is smashed. I didn't notice it at first when I walked in, and the glass is in the sink, and there's a little bit of blood in the sink, right? And so I'm standing there, and I look over at the tub, and the shower curtain is pulled back, and there's a fur coat in the tub. And I'm like, all these things are too much for one thing. You know what I mean? Like, this would be a shutting the bathroom down for a short period of time at the party if just one of them happened, and all of them are happening right now. And so I'm like, I don't know what to do. I flush. That's as much as I can clean up right now. And then I'm a bit panicked, so I get ready to just get out of the bathroom. Because if I can get out scot-free, if no one sees me come out of the bathroom, someone else can address this thing. Because I don't know anyone here. My only friend is late, and the host has just seen me once. I don't even, admittedly, this is gross, sorry, but I wasn't even going to wash my hands because I was like, there's a whole bunch of blood in there anyway. They'd be dirtier than when they were unwashed. And so I get ready to pull on the doorknob, and I hear a knock. And I can't open the door. There's no way I could open the door and be like, all yours. You know? It's crazy in there. And so I hear the knock, and I think to myself, oh, no. There's no way. First of all, if you need to go to the bathroom, the last thing you want is for someone to open the door and be like, all right, before you get in there. I just want you to know none of this is my fault, okay? Before you walk in with judgment, just know anything can happen to anybody at any point. Like, if you had been a little quicker with your feet, this would have been you, okay? I don't know what to do as I'm just standing there. And I'm admittedly standing there for, like, way too long. Like... And I hear a knock again. And I'm like, all right, I gotta do something. I gotta buy myself some time. And so I just say, 1 second. That's bought me 1 second. I have to use it wisely. And in my head, I'm thinking like, okay, I could try to clean up. I'm over here in my head freaking out because this is my worst nightmare. I'm going to look like a terrible guest. I'm at a party where I don't know anybody, and I'm going to look like I destroyed this bathroom. And so I'm Googling all types of stuff. I'm over here Googling, does glass flush? Like... Does glass flush? How fast can you get blood out of the sink? If you were to look at my Google search history on this night, it would look like I definitely killed someone. Or at least a small animal. Because I was also Googling, like, does fur disintegrate? Like, and so, I just spend another minute and a half sweating and freaking out. And then I hear a knock, but this knock is like thicker. It's just like strong. It's clearly a different knock. It's clearly a different person. And that person is like, hey, come on, people waiting. I'm like, people? People are waiting. Okay. All right. People implies more than one person, which does imply, plural. And plural could just be two. It could just be the initial guy that knocked and is very patient or maybe left. Who knows? Maybe he had to use the bathroom so bad that he left the party completely. But this person is adamant. Hey, I got to get in there. Right. And he said, people are waiting. And so in my head, I'm like, okay, two people are waiting. And then he yells out, you got a line out here. What's happening in there? And I looked at my phone, and I had been in the bathroom for like 15 minutes. Like, I had let this go way too far. And so... I truly froze. I didn't know what to do at all. It's like your absolute worst nightmare as a person that's like gets weird in like social interactions to actually have this weird thing happen to you is like, I think maybe this is hell. I think maybe I've died. And so I'm pacing back and forth in the bathroom, which is only breaking more light bulb glass. And I finally look out of the little window and I'm like, I'm gonna have to. I'm gonna have to leave. Like, I'm gonna have to jump out of the window. And in my, like, panic, I forgot that we were on the first floor. So it wasn't like a big jump or anything, but I did have to climb out of a window that wasn't man-sized. Luckily, neither am I. I was squeezing my hips at like an angle, like I put my hips like diagonal to the edges of the window to get as much space as possible, and I wiggled out. I fell out of the window, and I tried as much as I could to like pull the window back up from outside so that people wouldn't be like, oh, whoever it was went out the window. And then I was like, what do I do though? What if someone saw me go in, remembers me perfectly even though they don't know me? And could point me out, you know, because I wear the same thing every day. And so I'm like, the only option I have is to go back in. Is to go back in and join the line for the bathroom. And so I walk around the house and I'm thinking to myself, okay, all I gotta do is watch out for the host. His host was greeting me when I first walked in. As long as the host has like got to that point in the party where they're not greeting everybody and they're not answering the door every time, I should be good. And so I wait, some other people were arriving and they knock on the door. Someone else opens the door. I'm like, this is my chance. I sneak in behind those two other people and I immediately walk to the line for the bathroom. And luckily, my buddy who was late was in the back of the line. And he's like, can you just believe this? No, I do my best to be like a good house guest, you know? And especially when I travel. Because when I travel, I have to do it as an American. I have to travel as an American now. You know? And it's like, I'm traveling more than I ever have in my life, experiencing new places for the first time. But one thing that I will say is, okay, there used to be a time where you would travel when you were from the U.S. You would go to other places and you would say that you were from the U.S. And people, there was a shine to it. There genuinely was like this like magnificent shine around you and your passport. People had questions for you. You know, you would say you were from the U.S. and they'd be like, oh, blue jeans. Wow. And then over time, the shine started to wear off a little bit, you know, like the way that we were perceived on the world stage started to change, and you would tell people that you were from the U.S., and they'd be like, oh, yes, Beyonce. And now, you travel the world, and look, people ask me. I don't go around telling everyone my business all the time. People ask me, hell, where are you from? And I go, oh, it's you know, he's American. And they're like, what? What? I didn't hear. Oh, you know, it's United States. What? I'm American. I'm from the U.S. From America. And I've traveled in these past 2 weeks to Paris, Dublin, Brussels, Antwerp, now here, and there is a similarity. This happened more in Brussels and Antwerp than anywhere else, but it has also happened here where people will ask me where I'm visiting from, and then I will tell them. And there's a look and a noise you make that's genuinely offensive. Like, it is... Once again, you asked me. I didn't say anything. I walk into the shop. Y'all are the ones, you know, asking questions and stuff. And then I say that I'm from the U.S. I'm visiting from America. And then you go, oh. You get the face or you get the noise. You don't get both. Oh. I grew up in Louisiana, right? And when I was, sure. And when I was in Louisiana, you know, I have friends who live in all different parts of the state. And one of my friends, he actually lives like, he's in like a rural area. He's in like, you know, some swamp area near the bayou and everything. There's a bunch of things floating in the water, a bunch of predators out there, you know. He does his hunting, he comes back home. That's mainly how he sustains himself and everything. And there was one time he was having a barbecue. A bunch of friends came over, and one of his buddies, his buddy Spence, came over and was having a cigarette off by himself. He walked off away from the barbecue to have his cigarette. And then sometime later, he comes back over, and in the back door, the way that a lot of the houses are built in Louisiana is you have your door and you have your screen door, and the screen door can keep out the bugs while also letting air flow into the home and everything. And so he pops his head near the screen door, and his head only. And Spence leans in and he says, "Hey, can you call an ambulance?" And our friend is like, "What? Why? If anyone ever asks you to call an ambulance, just do it right away. Like, I'm sure that they have a good reason. I'm sure they're not just getting you to do it for fun because they want to hear the siren. I think that they probably need some help." And so he's like, if you could just call him, that'd be great. Can you please just call him? You know, and he's being very calm. And so our friend walks up and pokes his head out of the screen door, and he sees that Spence, though calm, is standing there, and there is a baby alligator around his foot. And that's the way you look at me when I tell you that I'm from the U.S. Now, coming here at a time where tourism in the U.S. is way down. Yeah, people aren't coming to visit as often. It's like if you know, people used to love to come visit all the time, and then something happened. It'd be like if you went over to your friend's house all the time growing up, and then one day you stopped going, and your friend was like, why? Why wouldn't you just come over like you used to? Come hang out. And you're like, oh, well, last time I was there, your dad threw a plate at my head, so I think I'm good coming over for a while. You know? And so tourism is down in the U.S. People are choosing other places to go, and one of the main places that they're choosing to come is to Europe. It's all these places, like, you know, some people will come to Berlin. A lot of it is happening in Spain with Barcelona and Madrid, in Italy, you know, in Paris as well. And it's getting to the point where there's so much tourism, people are actually calling it like over tourism. You know, and this is happening at the same time as like massive heat waves. Like wild heat waves, some of which we've never seen before. It's never been as hot as it is now. It's very hot. Luckily, not here today. But this week you had, you know, one of your hottest days on record. I can't even imagine what that must have been like, because you all are like fit people. Like, you get on bikes to go put... You have to understand, my frame of reference is the U.S. So the fact that you're even walking next to a bike is leaps and bounds. You know, I can't imagine trying to ride a bike in that heat or running. Some of you run. And so that's wild that this level of like over tourism is happening at the same time as this heat wave. And there are people in Paris, there are people in Spain and Italy that have had enough. They're losing it over this. You know, they're protesting. They're protesting the tourists. They're over here being like, stop it. Stop coming here right now. Talk amongst yourselves and spread it out throughout the year or something. But this is too much. You know, you have places like, I could be wrong about these numbers, but I think in Barcelona, you have like 1.6 million people living there, but like 26 million people visit throughout the year. That's wild. I understand that if you live in Barcelona and you're trying to ride your bike, eventually you're like, get out of the way! No. And then if you live in Barcelona, you're tired of all these tours everywhere all the time, and you start freaking out. You might get a reputation for being a little bit rude to tourists, and then you'll be New York. No. But people are doing the best they can to protest. There's been all these different types. People get creative and stuff. There's one where they were shooting tourists with water guns throughout the day, you know? Get out of here! Ah! You know, like when a dog tries to pee on the carpet. You know what I mean? You know? Although as far as protests go, you can tell that these are like good people doing the protesting, because that's what you came with, water guns. For water guns. I don't know. I'm coming from the U.S. where it would have just been guns. Like, that's... You can tell these are people who have a deep moral core, because you used water guns to protest tourists during a heat wave. They probably didn't even understand what was happening. You know what I mean? They were probably over here like, oh, the Spanish are so hospitable. They saw how hot we were. And then some strangers we didn't even know were like, ah, cooling us off. You know, and I get the genuine frustration, though, but this is the main problem, is that whether it's business or whether it's government, systems have a magnificent way of pitting us against each other. Like, there are people that are local that are upset, because obviously with all this tourism, Airbnbs are shooting up. Airbnbs raise the price of living in the area, so then people are getting priced out of their homes. They're getting priced out of the areas that they grew up in. They have to find somewhere else to live, all for people who don't live here, who are just coming to peak, and then they head home. And that can be incredibly frustrating, but that's the people who are coming to visit didn't come up with a master plan. Airbnb and the government that allows Airbnb to run rampant are the people to blame. You should be taking, like, if you're going to take anger out on anybody, it should be the local government and the Airbnb that allows it to run rampant. You should be using the water guns on the computers at the... You know, because I think that that's the main way that systems get to stay intact. They see this, Airbnb sees it, and local government sees it, and they're like, well, we get to rake in money while the people that live here blame somebody else. Why would we ever change our practices? You know, and I don't really know what the exact fix is. You know, I remember when Airbnb was like, at your house. There was a time early in Airbnb's history where you were just renting a room in someone's house, and so they lived there, and then they collected the money from you staying with them, like a little mini hotel. But that was like easier because then they lived here, so they cared about the home, they cared about the community, and you got to get a taste of like local life. And you could even ask them, hey, is there anywhere I should go to eat? And they would tell you, this is where we're going to eat tonight. And sometimes you would actually have a meal with your host. And I thought that was a really beautiful thing. And then like private equity and more money got involved. And so it ruined it. Because now an Airbnb is also like sometimes worse than a hotel, because they'll let the person who owns the Airbnb set the rules. So now you have someone setting these insane rules for the Airbnb. Like, you can't just check out. You can't just take your trash, put it outside, and leave. There are all these rules. Like, you have to make sure to wash the cabinets, wash all the dishes and everything, wipe everything down, you know, give our dog a bath. Also, you don't get charged a cleaning fee that you end up getting charged anyway, because in the small print, it was like, pick up our kid from school. And you didn't see that part. So now you're spending all this money on Airbnb to just go somewhere nice like Italy. And then you get to Italy and everyone's mad at you for visiting Italy. But you're also mad because you're like, the rules in this Airbnb say I have to buy this house before I leave.
Not good.